Hello and welcome to Rapid Access Radio, presented by ProTech Central, Episode 7, July 2025. Hi, I'm Sean Mullen, your host. Today's guest is Steve Nudelberg of On the Ball, Inc. This runs about 29 minutes. Friends, today we're speaking with a new friend, Steve Nudelberg, whom I had the high honor of witnessing in action and subsequently have had a wonderful time visiting with him. I saw him in action at the recent Fire Suppression Systems Association down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And when I saw his bio, I said, you know what, I'm going to be sure and catch this dude's presentation, because I think I'm going to vibrate with him. And I certainly did. And Steve, you were so kind. I put you on the spot during the question and answer time.
Yes, you did.
And I said, hey, brother, would you help me be kind enough to be interviewed for my new podcast, Rapid Access Radio, presented by ProTech Central? And you said, you bet. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get this guy up front and center to introduce to my listeners, my growing number of listeners, by the way. And so, Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. And you know what? I'm honored that you've taken the time to visit with me. But more importantly, I want to be sure that I make sure my listeners and the folks that tune into this have an appreciation for how you got to where you are. So would you share that, how you got to where you are?
Absolutely. And I appreciate the opportunity, but I will give you some perspective. All of us have been in a position where we're starting something, and if you don't ask, you don't get, number one. And number two is you always send the elevator back down. So I was where you were, and people said yes to me because I asked and whatever. And, you know, that led to where I am today. So, you know, who am I? 40 years in business. I'll be 65 years old next month.
Hey, brother, congratulations. I'll be 65 in October. I'm not that far behind you. Must have been the class of 78, right?
78, class of 78. So I feel great. I do not feel in any way, you know, what I thought was 65 would be this, you know. So I got a lot of gas in the tank still. But I've been a guy that grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My grandfather and my dad, similar to your roadmap to speak. So I watched it. I was intoxicated by the people side of it. I love meeting people, talking to people. I'm generally a curious guy, and I think it's a wonderful skill set. I wish there was a way to actually teach it. I'm curious who people are, what they do, how they do it, who they do it with. So that has led to a life of learning. And I've never been afraid to take chances. So I've been involved in tons of opportunity. Some have been magnificent. Most have not. Most have been just great learning lessons, you know. So I am one of those guys that, like, if you ask me, you know, in high school, you know, you'll write a book one day, I would go, no way. And people that knew me say, no way. But, you know, I've lived a life where there is something to give back. And so I wrote a book called Confessions of a Serial Salesman. It's my sort of how-to. How did I get to do all the things I did? And, you know, if you live by some kind of process, some system that allows you to be a peak performer, very much like athletes and, you know, entertainers, come prepared every day. So it's really, it's been a great run. And, you know, now I get to see my boys, my older son and my younger son run the business, which, you know, it's, I don't know that there's any monetary value that I can equate to that feeling, because they're actually wonderful representatives of my legacy.
Yeah. Well, what a great honor for you as a father, to see those young men come in behind. And I'm sure that they bring the energy as much, if not more so, than you do. I mean, do they keep you on your toes?
Their careers took them into college football coaching. So they coached at Division I, big schools, lots of people in the stands, lots of pressure, lots of income. But every career comes with its downsides. And the downside for them was not a lot of family time, a lot of traveling, moving schools. And they finally decided to give that up and take what they love to do, their passion to lead and teach and do it in the business sector. So they do have a very similar mindset. They grew up living by my rules. And one of the greatest rules I have is you have to pay attention to how you show up. You need to be self-aware of how you affect other people. And it's one of the biggest, you know, things that I think you can control. And so our mantra is you need to learn to control the controllables. And that is what you think and what you do. And if you do that, good things will happen to you.
Yeah. Boy, that's such a powerful lesson. You know, in the fire protection industry, and I'm sure you picked that up from the trade association meeting that we had. I hope you had a chance to meet with several of the professionals that we have in that organization. Yes. They're absolute technical rock stars, and many have become my personal friends over, you know, 35, 40 years of being involved with the industry, much like your timeline. And, you know, a lot of times when we're in the fire protection industry, there is risk involved. We are trying to mitigate risk. We're trying to make sure that people and property and processes are safe. But how would you, in your role, define high performance, especially in areas where the stakes are literally life and death, and, you know, like safety and emergency services? What's high performance mean to you in those types of areas?
So I think it does not matter what silo you live in. It's a personal choice of what you do to prepare. Most people I call, they show up and throw up. They're not, they're just not prepared for what it takes to be successful. So, you know, I think, so when you make that choice, that has to do with things that are in your control. Like when people talk about diet, they think of food, but your diet is, you know, what you listen to, what you watch, you know, who you hang out with, what you read, what, you know, all of those things, you know, they say you are the sum of the five people that you hang out with the most. Yeah. Well, you know, the world we live in now, you can hang out with unbelievable people, not physically, just in the virtual world.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hang out with entrepreneurs like Richard Branson, like Mark Cuban. You could do that every day. They are feeding you information, which is a gift that did not, you know, precede us. But I was always that guy that, you know, took Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and Napoleon Hill, you know, Tom Hopkins. I had that stuff running in my brain all the time. And so there's this phrase that I like, you return to learn. Most people hear something one time and they think they've learned it. It's impossible. So when you return to it on a regular basis and repetitively prepare for success, it becomes instinct. You look at sports, which is a great metaphor. People practice every day. And at practice, there's a camera that is filming them, and the eye in the sky does not lie. Nobody's willing to put themselves up to that kind of scrutiny or that kind of feedback. We do. We believe in that. If you want to get better, you have to have outside eyes that look and critique. And the way you accept feedback creates growth. And it's just a mindset. I mean, all of success starts in your head first. Walt Disney's probably my favorite example. He saw Disney World 10 years before they put a shovel on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, wow, that dude was 10 years ahead of everybody. So, you know, if you're willing to allow yourself to be immersed in all of the gifts that are around us, life is very, very full and meaningful. And it's different now than it's ever been.
Friends, we're visiting with my friend, my new friend, Steve Noodleberg from On the Ball. And we're having just a great conversation about energy and preparation and mindset. So Steve, you know, thinking about mindset, might you share when you work with someone who maybe is stuck in what I would say the compliance mindset? Now, remember, I'm talking from the belt and suspenders, fire protection. Man, we got to comply. We got to make sure everything works right. But also, I think our industry can also use a growth mindset. And so how do you toggle an individual that comes from that compliance mindset and migrate them over to the growth mindset? What are some things that you talk to them about?
So there's a fabulous book that was written by a young lady named Carol Dweck. Was written 30 plus years ago. She's a Stanford psychologist. And she wrote the book and did the study on there's basically only two kinds of mindset. There's a growth or a fixed. Fixed, we're all used to. It's what we've already learned. Yeah. And it is wrought with limiting beliefs. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not good at that. And if you think about, you know, people will always say, well, I'm not good at math, or I'm not good at public speaking, but they've never really tried or been trained or whatever. So the word that we use to bridge that in anything that you want to get better at is the word yet. If you focus on it, you know, it's 10,000 hours to be an expert in anything. Most people aren't willing to put in the time and the energy.
Yeah.
You want to be a brain surgeon. It's in the internet. It's on the internet. You can do that. Most people aren't willing to do that. So what coaching does and what we do is help people see where they're stuck and then create the possibility of what that could look like with practice, preparation, right, and behavior. Most coaching and training is about outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am not an outcome guy. I'm a behavior guy.
Yeah.
And James Clear in his book, Atomic Habits, talks about the same power of money compounding, behaviors compound. So if you set the right behaviors every day, small behaviors, 5 or 6 behaviors, and do them with discipline and consistency, in 90 days, you're unrecognizable. People are not willing to commit. It's not difficult, but there are so many distractions and so many things along the way that pull people off course that I admire people who do that. I was one of them who built a very disciplined approach to how I do everything, how I eat, how I sleep, how I work out, you know, and I did that because I want the benefits. I want that outcome, you know, so those outcomes make it different for me. And, you know, the people who are complaining or are stuck are just not willing to make those shifts. And if you find the right person to coach you, and I love this, you know, this last chapter of my career, because I was never really a coach other than for my own businesses and my own people.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting to help people unlock who they are, what they do, who they do it with. I used to write this in all of my offices. I'd walk in the morning and I'd just write down what's possible, you know? And so you'll get this. In 1961, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. He was the first guy to do it then. That same year, 12 other people did it because someone showed that it was possible. And so in any business, in any walk of life, in anything you do, you start with what's possible. It doesn't mean you're going to get there, But that's so exciting and so great.
You know? Yeah, it brings an energy all in and of itself, right? I mean, it energy feeds on energy. And you are a great exemplar of that. And so I'm just kind of curious. You have mentioned several successful people that you have interacted with and have had the opportunity to meet and visit with. I'm just kind of curious, what's one thing, one or two things that you see successful people do stop doing that helps them make room for that momentum that energy creates?
That's a great question. And I think it all comes down to what most people refer to as time management, or we refer to as energy management. You know, for me, if I want to get something done, it's scheduled. And so the mantra is, if it's not scheduled, it's not going to get done. Most people are living in the moment, thinking what they should have done or what they need to do. They're never where their feet are. That creates burnout and frustration. And so having very specific time management skills about what you do, how you prioritize what you do, what you say no to. Thank you, Warren Buffett. He said, if you're going to learn any skill, learn how to say no. Most people say yes way too often. And so when you're very specific about your activities, my calendar is color-coded. I only work with a 12-hour, that doesn't mean I work 12 hours, but I program 12 hours. And my philosophy on time management has helped people change their lives, say no to behaviors that don't work, and introduce new behaviors that do in a very relevant, consistent way. And when people hit that stride, they look and show up different. And you can tell when people manage what they do properly. So when I said to you I would do this, I was happy to do it, but we did it on my schedule, not on yours. And most people fly in and go, hey, could you do something for me on Friday? I go, I really want to do it, but can we do it the following Friday? Oh, yeah sure. So it's a mindset of how you treat yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and then scheduling is so critical that when I show people what I do, because everything that I coach, I actually do. So I didn't learn it in a book. You know, I've taken bits and pieces of everything. You know, I was fortunate early in my career to meet Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
My best friend was his VP of sales. And this was before Tony Robbins was Tony Robbins. And he would say a whole bunch of stuff that did not resonate with me. He was kind of goofy, candidly. But one thing that I took away from him was, where focus goes, energy flows. Wow. I've used that my whole career. Like, what I give energy to, I don't give energy to negative people. I don't give energy to negative thoughts. I don't do that, because if I focus on that, that's where the energy is going to go. So it feels simple. It's easy. It's not simple, or vice versa.
Yeah. No, totally with you on that every step of the way. And thank you for sharing. That's such a powerful witness to the benefits of schedule and determination. And much like me, if it's not on the schedule, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I actually print my calendar the night before, which my boys do not like. I mean, they're new school. Everything is digital. But I physically print it. It's color-coded. And I review the calendar the night before, like my playbook. So I knew last night that I was talking to you today at this specific time. And I was already prepared for what we were going to talk about. I've already thought it through. That's what great athletes do. They see it before it happens. That's what Walt Disney did. He saw it before it happened. Yeah. So I have many different calls today. Some are coaching. Some are, you know, doing these kind of
interviews. Sure.
And some are prospecting calls where I'm already prepared. I know who I'm talking to. I know what I want to talk to them about. So nothing is left to chance. And that's what I think most people, they just show up and expect it to happen.
I both you and I see that all too often. That's one of the challenges among a lot of new challenges we're experiencing today in the business world. I mean, the times they are a changing, right?
We live in a distracted world.
Yes.
It's easy to get distracted. That's why the more disciplined you are about where you feed, what you feed yourself, the results are astronomical and people notice it. I mean, you noticed it. You didn't even know me, but I got on stage and I made an impression quickly.
Yes.
Because this is who I am. Genuine and authentic. There was no BS. This is it. Right. And you can make a choice whether you wanted to engage with me or not. That was out of my control.
Right.
I can only be me. And yeah. I'm fortunate that we have started some business relationships with people at that. But the genesis of how I even got there is because Todd Stevens has been following me on LinkedIn for 3 years.
Well, Todd, as you know, is a dear friend and an industry titan. Todd knows his stuff when it comes to the technical stuff, but you're just not going to find anybody better than Todd in the industry. And, you know, just talking about this chaotic nature and the distracted nature that we're in, I would like to know, how do you stay grounded when all of this chaos is going on and all these distractions are going on? How do you stay grounded in the business of the energy that you bring, the coaching that you bring? That's gotta be a challenge just to come at it. And
it's really not. I mean, candidly, it's not, because it's a choice. Good. The noise is always going to be there. I don't choose to engage in it. It is a personal choice. Or I schedule time to do that. So I wake up every morning at 4 o'clock. Have for 20 plus years, no alarm clock, but I leave time throughout my day, space, I call it blocked or white space or whatever, for just roaming around. I mean, Southwest used to have a commercial, Southwest Airlines, just free to roam around.
Yeah,
I leave myself blocks of time to do that where I don't have anything scheduled. I can just think. Just before this, I sat outside. I live in Lauderdale. It's beautiful out. I just sat outside for 15 minutes doing nothing, just letting my brain just kind of, but that's planned,
right?
Because I've broken my day down into 15-minute increments. Mm-hmm. So my 12 hours turns out to be 48 boxes. And all those boxes are labeled. So I have plenty of time. The first thing I do is take 8 boxes for myself throughout the day. So they're spaced. I never book back to back. I'm always free to do whatever. And if those moments, if there's an urgent thing, I do it during my block space. So, managing the tempo is what great coaches do in sports. When you call a timeout. I have 8 timeouts that I call out during the day so that I'm clear and I'm ready. I never let it bleed. I never let one interfere with the other. And I'm not superhuman. I've just learned that this is a much easier way to live than live always on the edge, always focused, always out of control. The people I coach, when I get them to this place, they're grateful forever because it's a new life. It's like, wow, I'm doing more with less time.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. thank you.
Thank you. Friends, I hope you're enjoying a conversation with our new friend, Steve Noodleberg from On the Ball. And Steve, as we kind of round out our conversation today, one of the things I appreciated about your presentation at FSSA was you kind of started out and you said, If you only do one thing, if you only do one thing that we talk about here today and you implement that, then you will have considered the presentation a success. And for me personally, one of the things that I took away was, instead of asking people how they're doing, I asked them to tell me something good. Right. I mean, that was just a great hack. It really was. And folks are genuinely appreciative of that. And what we've been talking about, it creates a whole another dynamic of energy, which I think is really cool. So I would just invite you, as we close out today, is if someone's listening, and I know we have, I'm growing my listenership. I hope it goes exponentially because we got you on the show. But someone wants to start living their legacy now. What's the first small move that they might make this week as they listen to the podcast that they could implement? What do you think?
That's a really interesting question, and I don't think I've ever really been asked it in that way. My answer would be small incremental changes. For me, the first thing is to wake up early. And early is nebulous, early to different. But if you're waking up at 5 and you can push yourself to wake up at 4:30, or if you wake up at 6 and you can wake up to see what 30 extra minutes in your day, people walk around all the time saying, I have no time. I wish I could do that. I have no time. And so I would say to them, if I gave a magic wand and I said, here's 7 extra hours a week, I'll give you 1 extra hour a day, what would you do with that? Most of them say to me, I would read, I would write, I would spend more time with my wife, my kids, I would take care of me, I would exercise, something really relevant. And I would come back to them and say, all you need to do is wake up 1 hour earlier every day and you can have that. And you're making a decision to not read to your kids, kiss your wife, go for a walk, do all of those things. So that's a very small incremental change that is so impactful. And what I said to you on stage was, when you do one and you do it for 30 days and then you pick another one, if you do it for 12 months, if you have 12 new behaviors in a year, you'll be unrecognizable. No one will know you. It's that simple, not easy. So, whatever you start with, for me, it's doing things out of your comfort zone. Most people are stuck because they're comfortable. There's a fear of stepping out, but that's where all the goodies are. All the goodies are in that one step outside of, I hear people, that's just not the way we do it. And I go, well, maybe you should. And so just looking at it, small behaviors, it's not ripping off the Band-Aid and redoing everything. And a lot of coaching says you got to do it my way, or, it is a movement. It is, and I'll leave you with this final thought. I get asked all the time to speak, can you come in and motivate my team? My team needs motivation. That's not my job. It's not your job to motivate people. People need to motivate themselves. What I can do is create momentum. And momentum is definitely it's a series of behaviors that create different outcomes. And that's intoxicating, because then it's like, I want more. I want more. Yeah. And motivation is fleeting. Momentum is keeping, keeping pace.
Friends, we want to thank Steve Nudelberg from On the Ball for joining us today on Rapid Access Radio, presented by ProTech Central. And as we post this up, Steve, please know I'm going to put all of your contact information up on the post, because I certainly want to encourage my listeners and others to take time to reach out to you and understand the value proposition that you bring. And not only the value proposition, but my gosh, the high energy, dude. It is really refreshing to see a geezer like you and a geezer like me getting together and talking about vibrating together and really bringing the energy. So thanks for being today on Rapid Access Radio, Steve.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I'm grateful to be asked. And anytime I can give back, I'm looking to do that.
Thank you for joining us today. Plan to join us again when our guest will be my brother, Shane Mullen, Managing Director of Device Disposal and Consulting, and our discussion of the importance of proper disposal of explosives as well as aerosol generators used in fire protection.